9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
Happy Wednesday. Happy Wednesday, y'all. TK Trinidad here coming to you live from the 6 for the WWT Live, the Wednesday edition. Oh, my goodness. My hair is all over the place. Anywho, I am not alone. We got a lot of things to talk about. The PR princess herself is in the building. Miss Courtney Rice, how are you doing?
It's good. It is Wednesday, obviously, because, well, it is Dynamite. But we do have a lot to catch up on because it has been a very recovery over a lot that happened over the weekend. And yeah, we have Slammiversary this weekend.
Crazy. Slammiversary. And I was just, there's some stuff I need to tell you offline, some good news. But yeah, there's just a lot of things going on. I can't believe it is Tuesday. It kind of feels like a Thursday. But you want to get into what happened at NXT yesterday?
Yeah, NXT. I mean, a lot went down because, of course, they had the Great American Bash that happened this past weekend. So they had to continue the plot with that. I mean, of course, with Evolution, because JC Jane retained her NXT Women's Championship against Jordynne Grace. But she actually started off the show and she had an encounter with Masha Slamovich. Masha Slamovich came in, but she was not alone with Sol Ruka and Zarya. So that escalated into a 6-woman tag team match that actually happened later into the night. But also, that was not the only representation of TNA we had last night. We also had, this is actually weird, Trick Williams, Joe Hendry, and Mike Santana on the same team taking on Dark State.
Yeah, that was really crazy.
It was a bit crazy, but I think it was also with the fact too, Joe Hendry and Mike Santana just pretty much kicked Trick in the face because he was kind of started ruckus on the team, but it was a good solid match to start off. But also we had another TNA representation. We had the System come in because if you've been following TNA, they actually ramshacked at Mark Cardona. They also attacked at the System as well. Not Alicia Edwards, but everybody else in the System. So that actually was a little bit of chaos happening in there. And I'm pretty sure we'll see a lot of it on Thursday. Also, we did see an irate Jordynne Grace. She came in the middle of the match between the Evolved Women's Champion Kali Armstrong and Carmen Petrovic, and she wants revenge on Blake Monroe.
Wouldn't you?
The way that she was on TV, I would be very scared. I would not want to mess with the angry juggernaut.
Yeah, it was crazy, and I think we talked about like good old factions, and I wouldn't say good old factions. The System. It's like when you bring people together and then it starts making sense. You don't necessarily see how it makes sense initially and then it starts making sense. And it's like, okay, I can rock with this. It's kind of like Judgment Day, where it started and where it is now. People putting time into stuff, and I wish they would do that more often. So now it's like you have, I think factions are a good thing. I think it also keeps people working and, you know, less of the, oh, we can't find something for you. So shout out to the System for that. So what do you think, after everything that happened in NXT, what's going to happen as far as Jordynne Grace?
I think for Jordynne, this is going to be very interesting. And this is kind of a tough one to do it. And it's ironic. Will's not even here. And I've been watching NXT for the last 3 months since I've been here. But it's going to be interesting with Jordynne because she's kind of in a little bit of a tough route because she could go up to the main roster. So stay on NXT, and also it's kind of where they're going to fit her, because obviously, and then Boza, thank you for getting to that point, because next week, like, Monroe's going to have her match against Ren Sinclair, because they will be live next week in Houston, Texas, so I think that's kind of a good segue for her to work with Blake Monroe a little bit, and also give her her first main rivalry, of course, with JC Jane. Also, with the fact, too, because between Masha and JC, they will be one title. They will have both the Knockouts and the NXT Women's title. So that's also another thing to consider as well.
Do you think Masha, hey, also, yeah, shout out to everybody in the chat. Cousin Ron, Sindale, I missed you. She had the twirl, the mustache, Bosa, and Eric, and our producer from the future, Dylan's in the building as well. For Masha, do you think she's on the same kind of pathway as Jordan? Meaning, like, are we going to eventually see her as a sign up for NXT? And then also, it's kind of a weird position to be in, because if you're at NXT and you know your hope was always to be with WWE, do you feel like there's a high possibility, or like what is that kind of pipeline? You know, yeah, you could be on NXT, but is there a possibility of actually getting signed to WWE?
It's kind of a hit or miss, and it's only because, yeah, you can have the best in-ring work, but you also need charisma. Mm-hmm. You also need character development. And that's something we've talked about the last couple of months, because obviously you can be the best wrestler in the world. Mm-hmm. You also have that factor. You need to have that certain edge that you could see. And Masha, I can, but also at the same time, it's like, who is left in TNA that could lead the Knockouts division?
That's a whole nother question in itself. So taking away the possibility of getting signed to WWE, who, like, you know, Jordan was carrying it for a long period of time. You know, we had a moment with Trin, and now Masha's carrying it. Who else is there?
Indy's there. Indy Hartwell.
We have Ash and Heather.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Tessa. Yeah. It feels like they're slowly rebuilding it. I think it's like the ebbs and flows of anything, like, you know.
And Victoria Crawford, all formerly known as Alicia Fox, she was signed to TNA.
Tessa Blanchard could be a good one too.
Yeah, Tessa. And I think because with the heel work she's done and she kind of embraced it, and it's like she has that heel factor that can really bring it in on being a top heel in that Knockouts division.
And Steph Delaney and Rosemary, who's, you know, a staple. Very interesting. I wonder, and maybe you would know this, Boza, or you would do the, because I don't know how quickly you get your information, but you'd be getting it really quick. How many TNA Knockouts was signed to the division? What do I mean, 2025 now? So let's say, in like the peak of the Knockouts division, like, you know, when the Knockouts was like, you know, bar none. Now we have other promotions who are like, obviously NXT is killing it with their women as well. But when the TNA locker room or the Impact locker room was at its peak, how many women did we have signed? I'd be curious to see how many women are then versus how many women are now.
Oh my God. I'm trying to think from 03 to 05, I would probably say at least 10 to 12.
Compared to now, how many do we have signed now? We have one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. So it looks like we have about 22 women signed to the, interesting. Okay. I'm going to have to do like a show on that. Cause like the number, the 22 is kind of almost where, the last time I counted, like for AEW, around how many women AEW has, and I wonder how many women. Seems like WWE would have a little bit more. I'd say maybe like 30. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's like a split of 50-50. But we'll see, because we also have to bar people in injury, etc., and TV time. But yeah, anyways, that was just a rabbit hole question with that. So do you see Masha eventually being signed to WWE?
In the future, I do. I do see her possibly being in there. I would not be shocked if if she made the jump to NXT first. Mm-hmm. So she has done a lot of TV time on NXT to kind of get her feet wet. I don't think they want to jump her into the roster yet, because especially with the roster we have on the main side, and also with the fact too, because there is limited amount of TV time, because now SmackDown is reduced to 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Raw has two and a half hours, especially with Netflix, because Netflix, they just want that star power. They want who's going to get them ratings, who's going to give them that draw, and who's going to get them in the top 10, top five.
I'd be curious to see what that split is like. And when I mean like the split for Netflix, like who's paying for the product? Like, cause you know, obviously WWE goes to different cities, et cetera, et cetera. Hey Maria, what's up? Who's paying for the product, and what is the split that like Netflix is getting? Like, are they getting money on the front end as far as how many the viewership, or have they already paid WWE for the product to be on Netflix and they're trying to recoup their money, and it's still how they're recouping their money? There's like a lot of different things on the business aspect that I'd be curious to see. Dylan, send Natty to TNA to have a few brawls and confrontations on Thursday. Well, I mean, speaking of that, we're talking about Natty Neidhart and Masha. They're going to be at GCW Bloodsport. So that's going to be coming up, and that's going to be in Jersey, and I'm assuming around SummerSlam weekend.
Yes.
It's going to be a really nice card. Jonathan Gresham is going to be on there. Jhenny Kai. Watch live on Thriller. So it's going to happen Saturday, August 2nd at 1 p.m. in Jersey. This is going to be a really, really good match. And with that being said, I feel like it's anybody's game. Who do you think is going to come out on top of this?
Ooh, that's a tough. That's very, very tough, because we've seen clips of Natty, what she can do in GCW and WA. And also, this does help with Masha, especially with her not only being the fighting champion, because she has one of the belts for GCW, but also being the, well, hopefully she's still the TNA Knockouts champion. Mm-hmm. That could also really help as well, especially if people are not too familiar with TNA.
What do you think the angle for Natty will be? Like, I feel like her thing is to test out, or I wouldn't say test out, but, you know, like fresh blood. She's been in WWE forever. So she gets to almost kind of dawn on a semi-new personality. But do you think there's going to be a moment where she's like, okay, I've done everything that I can do outside WWE and now I'm like good? Or do you think this is, you know, going to be like a 5-year stretch?
I think this is going to be a 5-year stretch for her, because she's just getting started. And she actually said this on Busted Open a couple weeks ago. I don't know if I shared this in the chat. I might have shared it with Honey. But this is where she was unfiltered. And she was Natty Neidhart, the one at GCW. Like, literally, she was unfiltered and did not take any crap from anything. So I was like, this is the energy that I would like to see, especially if she's going to do it on WWE. But I know, like, she's teaming up with Maxine. Maybe that could be, like, something as a betrayal for her, but something. But she is getting her flowers. And plus, I know she's getting her latest accolade. Her book's going to be released later this year.
I'm really curious to see what's going to be in that book, because a book can go either way. Like, you can just give us the flowery stuff, like, oh yeah, I was born and I knew I was destined to be da da da, and you know, you leave out the and not to say that you have to, you know, give out your secrets or, you know, the stuff that's in the closet. But I wonder, you know, I'm venturing to guess not everything was, you know, flowers and roses the whole time. So I'm wondering if she's gonna give those secrets.
It's a possibility. I mean, she really is very passionate towards her family's history. Not sure if she'll give out all the secrets, not all, but hopefully some stuff that she can share to the public regarding her family, because her family is, of course, a part of history when it comes to wrestling. Mm-hmm. But I'm very curious on her book and everything that she's been through, especially having the last name Hart, having to deal with the legacy behind it, and also the pressure of being a second, third generation star.
Yeah, like, yeah, there's so many like things, like even like when TJ stopped wrestling, like I'm sure like when he did, it was more through injury, right? Yes. And what, like being able to retire on your own terms, being instead of being forced to retire, is something that does something to somebody mentally. And like whether it's good or bad or how they cope with it. I mean, of course, that's not her story to tell, but she's married to him. So I like, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Because sometimes you read these bios and you're like, it's kind of like no shade. I read back to back Jada Pinkett Smith's bio and Will Smith's bio. And Jada gave a lot of secrets. And then when you read Will, it's like their books were going kind of in tandem, right? And so you read Will and you're like, now come on, like, you're not going to address any of the rumors? Like, you're not going to, you don't want to talk about any of that? Your wife just said all this, but you don't want to, okay. So this is kind of, and again, you know, it's up to you. Nobody's asking, you know, for, well, people are asking for your life story. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do, but it's just kind of like when you don't address all the rumors, then it's just kind of like, this a little too put together. And no matter whether you're rich or poor, life does get ugly sometimes. But you know, again, I can't wait to read it. I have since started a library collection of women's wrestling bios. So it'll be look lovely on the bookshelf. So did you have Natty or Masha to win for GCW?
Natty.
I think I have Masha for this one.
Oh, Masha?
Yeah, I think I have Masha for this one. So we'll do a Raw recap. Said, if you guys did miss it, he did pop on late at night. So first off, because we haven't seen Said in a minute, he's been in the streets. So I am going to take the time to air out some of the issues with Said. He knows I'm on the East Coast and then wants to call me at god awful times in the morning to get codes to get on StreamYard when he has access to it himself. And so, I mean, I guess I'm thankful that he did do the recap. He didn't do the watch along, obviously, because he's been in the streets. But, you know, there's other people on the West Coast that could help you, Said. But I guess that was the one. So how did Raw shape up? How do you like Raw?
It was a very good episode. It was a very, very, very good episode, I will say, after. I mean, this photo says it all.
Naomi. And Naomi cooks. Oh, my God.
She just literally went off, and then she was telling Io, saying, I don't understand you.
But here's the thing, like, I don't know. I'll keep this opinion to myself. But she cooked. Because I loved it.
Oh my goodness. But you know, I was happy she won it. She cooked, and it was just nice to see the interaction between Io and Rhea. But also we found out regarding SummerSlam, it will be a triple threat match at SummerSlam between all three of these ladies, Naomi, Io Sky, and Rhea Ripley. I would love to see Naomi retain. I just don't want Io to get the pin. Because I love Rhea, nothing against her, but I would love to see a match between Naomi and Io. Just one-on-one, nothing more, nothing less.
So do you think, I know we talked about this with after or maybe during Evolution, do you think this is going to be a long or short reign for her?
I hope it's a long reign. I do not want this to be a short reign, because if it is, I'm going to be sad. Yeah, I would be very, very sad if it was short reign. I really want this reign to be long. I want this to be memorable. I want her to create rivalries. I know this will be something. I mean, you know, Ia and Rhea, and I know she's feuding with Becky, but I would love Naomi versus Bayley. I would love for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in the future, I don't know if it's going to happen, her versus Lyra, that would be a good match to have.
There's a lot of people. I mean, obviously, you know, Bianca, Jade, like there's just... I do agree, Bosa, until at least the end of the year. Like, here'd be the thing, right? keeping Naomi like who she is character wise, and we get to like Survivor Series, and like that's definitely not the end of the year, but it's coming close to the end of the year that if she drops, then this is when, and this is, you know, obviously not even fantasy booking, just fantasy, you know, make it happen. This is when, you know, the hint of the Bloodline Civil War comes and Naomi takes her rightful place, you know, as the, because now she's cooking so much. And I think she could almost be like, and not still wrestling. I don't necessarily want her to be like the talk piece, but she can be that talk piece on that side. And this is where, you know, you don't mind her dropping because she's now taken her rightful seat on the Bloodline, according to WWE. I mean, The Rock acknowledged her and everybody else acknowledged her, but WWE is just like, yeah, you there, but you're not there. It's like, but we all, like, what are we doing? Benjamin's agreeing, keep Naomi champ until October, November.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Since Naomi is on Raw, Rhea should go to SmackDown. There's nothing left for Rhea to do on Raw. Huh, what do you think of that? That's what Maria is saying.
I mean, I wouldn't mind it. I mean, depending if they're doing the, I don't even know at this point, because I don't even know if they're doing the draft, because now LA Knight is showing up on Raw. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't mind seeing Rhea on SmackDown, because I think she would definitely work well. Tiffany has been pushing for her as well to come on Raw. I meant SmackDown. That would actually be good. And also, maybe her and Jay could go one-on-one. That could be interesting. Her versus Nia Jax. Her versus, like, going it back. Her versus Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's so many possibilities. And with that being said, I mean, there's enough women for both brands. But for a block of time, do you, like, if Triple H is not going to give us Evolution 3, do you think for a block of time you almost make it like a portal to the WWE multiverse, where now women are not beholden to like SmackDown or Raw? It's like wherever the storyline lies, and now you're going to see people want SmackDown that are on Raw and NXT. And you see a little bit of that with NXT to certain brands, but like the SmackDown Raw kind of timelines, do you think it'd be a good idea if we kind of like open it up for, I don't know, a quarter, where it's like where the storyline resides is where the storyline resides, and this is where we're going to see the women at the moment, but they're not specifically on a certain brand?
That's going to be interesting, because I'm looking at this from perspective, from my own perspective, especially quarterly, because of course, obviously, TKO wants the money.
Mm-hmm.
WWE wants the money, obviously, because they have to think of, like, which stuff. I mean, obviously, of course, they have to think of, like, the top-tier men side, because, of course, John's doing his retirement. You, of course, have CM Punk, Cody, Jay, like, all your top-tier guys. And it's, like, thinking, like, and this is kind of the sad part about this as well, the money and, like, who's the main attraction
right
in the women's division.
But,
and that's
right. But that's the thing. If it's who's the main attraction on the women's division, if you were almost going to do like a ladder, right? And it doesn't matter what brand. And you do a ladder, and then you kind of do these stories. And like, could you imagine like 2 weeks from now, Naomi just pops up with a promo on SmackDown?
that would be cool.
Just saying like, y'all thought, you know, just because I was on Raw that like you're protected, but you're not. And then she comes out like it's just, and yeah, I would say, yeah, it'd be a women's exclusive portal. Like, could you imagine she like, and this is, of course, more cinematic fantasy booking, because, you know, WWE doesn't do that. But, and of course, if you guys have been watching for the last, I don't know, Evolution and Monday, I was talking about going down my Marvel rabbit hole. But you could imagine like if Naomi is like Thanos and she just snaps her fingers and it's like just 10 women left.
Oh my God.
Like, I just like, I feel like they should at least test, especially if there is no Women's Evolution 3 on the books as of yet. However, Triple H is known for surprises. So they might already have it and they just decide not to tell us. I, you know, hope to God it's not a 6-week buildup like they did this year. But, you know, if they're not going to give us that, what about, you know, yeah, Naomi shows up at NXT.
Oh man, that would be crazy if she did.
Yeah, like Jordynne Grace thinks her and Naomi are like BFFs because Naomi and her were in TNA together, but Naomi's like, yeah, no, this is a different Naomi. You don't like, and then she goes and tries to takes her title or takes also, her opportunity for a title.
This is going to be crazy, and I know this is like fantasy booking, and I know it's going to happen, but what if she shows up on TNA with the belt and confronts Masha Slamovich?
Like, y'all thought you knew me, and I was just playing the game. Everybody's asked me to be, especially as, and so now I'm going to go on like a Black woman tangent. Especially as a Black woman, you have to almost like play the game. You have to, you know, people misinterpret you, and you have to kind of play the game. You have to be nice, even though when you don't feel like being nice. And now she's unhinged, she's loose, and she's the champion. Like, who's gonna check me, boo? Like, it would be like just, or even if you don't do the full women's locker room across WWE, Naomi has that key where she can go where, like, she's just gonna just start popping up and just doing storylines, whoever she wants. Like, you thought y'all can control me. Now I'm the champion. I can do whatever I want because you guys have been holding me down for the last 6 years, and I'm gonna come and get everything. And then she can also do like her best friend's doing and become a belt collector. Can you imagine that? Oh my God.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, that is true.
Anyways, those are for free. Like, you guys can magically like just disappear this clip. And if it happens, I won't even.
Dylan, remember to clip this.
Yeah, same.
Oh my goodness. Oh God. Naomi, I'm enjoying
it. I am, and I know Professor would hate this, but I would love, even if it's off the record, and that means I couldn't tell you all, but just the nosy curiosity part of me, I would love to know, sit down with Naomi and get the evolution of this version of her. Because we saw like through Divas how she got like to the Glow and how she like, you know, tested it out, etc. But this version of her and, you know, her promos and all this other stuff, I would love to just like get, because there was something or somebody brought something to her. Like, I would love to figure, like, you know, that doesn't need to be for everybody, but those are stuff I'm curious about.
curiosity. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, which side are you talking about? The side of the whole WWE thing? I feel like if she comes out with a book, then it may come out, maybe. But anyways, we won't dwell on that. But definitely a dominance. But did we talk about anything else other than Naomi for Raw? I feel like other things happened to Raw.
I know. We were talking because we know you love Naomi so much. So that's why I didn't want to
say like, I'll just let you. I feel like you need to get this off your chest. And
it happens. You need to let this get off your chest. We also had a hard hitting match between Lyra Valkyria and Bayley. 2 out of 3 falls. The winner of this match will face off against Becky Lynch for the Women's Intercontinental Championship at SummerSlam.
Nice.
Let me tell you this. You better put everything to rest about Lyra. I know a lot of people did not like her character last year, and they think she was boring, but she is finally developing confidence and character. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something working with both Bayley and Becky Lynch, she's really starting to show confidence and character within herself. So I'm very happy she is starting to see that. And the winner is Lyra. Lyra ended up winning, and she will be face off against Becky Lynch at SummerSlam. So I'm very happy this Women's Intercontinental Championship is starting to heat up a little bit, because this is supposed to be a workhorse title.
So then what happens for Bayley? Because I think we talked about this with Evolution too. Like,
yes.
Okay, you know, I was rooting for Bayley to get the title. Obviously, Becky came out with it. So, and now it's going to be Lyra and Becky again.
Yes.
So what are we doing with Bayley?
That is going to be very interesting to see with Bayley, because I know she was not very happy after the match, especially with Lyra getting the win. So I would not be surprised if she kind of stuck her nose, because I just can't see her not being at SummerSlam without doing something. So I feel like there is something brewing that's going to happen during that match. Either I know she's going to watch, or something is about to go down. And I don't know, maybe we could see a possible turn, because I thought Lyra was going to be the one, but it looks like, I don't know, with Bailey.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, in a non-story thing, her whole thing was like, she's there to help people evolve. So, you know, helping, you know, Lyra evolve, develop her character. Like, we've seen the difference, like you said, over the last year. So maybe she's not chasing championships. And then here's the other question. If she would have won, do you think she would have as much heat as Becky does now?
Bailey, no. Because for some odd reason, a lot of people do love Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've heard a lot of people cheering. I mean, it was even on Monday with Lyra and Bailey, but a lot of people were really rooting for Bailey.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. What else did we have on Raw?
So, Monday night on Raw, as we mentioned, we did have that gauntlet match where the winner would be facing off against Gunther at SummerSlam. Braun Breaker had a dominant performance against Penta, LA Knight, main event Jey Uso. But soon enough, CM Punk is the winner, and he will be facing off against Gunther at SummerSlam. But that was not what everybody else was talking about the winner. It was this. The Tribal Chief. He made his triumphant return, and he is out for vengeance.
What do we think is going to happen? And do you think we're going to see him at least for the last quarter? Or is this going to be like a, you know, he has that lucrative kind of contract where he goes and comes as he went, you know, and we see where Paul Heyman is right now. What is going to happen?
I feel like it's going to be a match, possibly him and Jay taking on Braun and Bronson Reed at SummerSlam. Because with the fact, with Seth injury, it kind of derailed a lot of things, because it was supposed to be him versus Seth. But now, since with his injury, we don't know the whole status of it, Roman's taking out on the two henchmen. So,
So do you think there, well, we can kind of get into Seth and his injury. He was talking about that. But do you think, let's finish up Raw. Yeah, I wonder what's going to happen with that. Because Seth is out. We don't know how long he's out for. Let's see. Dylan's saying, do we see Roman and the Wise Men? I think that's going to be very dependent on how long Seth is out. If Seth is out for a year, do we think that the story that Seth has is out the door? Because it's not like a Liv situation where, you know, there's so many different variations and, you know, there's a faction kind of there that she can hop back into. They were still developing the faction, and also Seth is like essentially like the head of the table. So will they scrap the idea? Like, say if he's out for a year, will they scrap the idea entirely and, you know, circle back to it? Because that is a story in itself. Paul Heyman's like realizes he now has no, he said he's been saying all these like petty, shady things about Roman, but now he doesn't have somebody to protect him from Roman. But then Roman realizes that his counsel, it's almost like it's better to have the enemy you know versus the enemy you don't know. So there's nobody to protect Paul. So now Roman forces Paul into like, you know, indentureship or something. There's a lot of things you can kind of do with that. But it, I think it all kind of hinges on how long Seth is going to be out for.
Yeah, that's going to be the key part, because very curious on what Rome is going to do. And also in regards to his Money in the Bank contract, because even though it's a year, that's also another thing, because like, ooh, what are they going to do regarding like the cash in? Like, how are they going to do the briefcase if he's got, if he's going to be out for a whole year?
Unless we, I mean, Braun is already kind of he's already been champion. Unless he makes Braun the guy until he comes back, and then almost kind of gives Braun the, I mean, there are rules, but rules are meant to be broken. He kind of almost gives Braun the Money in the Bank, because if I were Seth, I'd rather give somebody I know the Money in the Bank versus having it up for grabs. And then you can't do it over again. No. So.
And also with the fact too, Braun Breaker has been itching to get called up into the world title picture. It's just been a matter of time.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, it all hinges on when he comes back. So we'll see.
All hinges, but the good news is with Roman, he is scheduled to be on the last two Monday nights on Raw before SummerSlam. So he will be on there next week and the week after. So set your reminders on Netflix. If you miss the Tribal Chief, can't miss TV.
Very true, because we have to see what's gonna happen with all this. What else do we have?
We have so a little bit on this. As Seth Rollins mentioned, he is taking over for Rich Eisen today and tomorrow for his show. If you're not too familiar with the sports world in regards to Rich Eisen, he has been in ESPN. He did SportsCenter with Stuart Scott. He was on the NFL Network. He's back on ESPN, and he has his own podcast talk show called The Rich Eisen Show, where they talk about everything that's happening in the football world, sports world. He's had people in wrestling like Seth Rollins. Tony Khan was on there a couple weeks ago, so he's on there. So Seth is taking over today and tomorrow. And while he was on, because now he calls his show the Seth Rollins Show.
Wouldn't you?
I mean, well, yeah, for two. I mean, if I was taking over, I would. But but anyways, he spoke about his injury while serving as a guest host, noting he doesn't have a confirmed diagnostics yet, but he also mentioned there was some imaging. It was a little too swollen. So we're going to take another look, hopefully in a week or two here in LA, try to get some sort of firm diagnosis and we can go from there. I am not a doctor. I only know my body and what I feel. What I feel is that this is going to be me out for an extended period of time. This is the first time I've been injured. It won't be the last time. I've always got WrestleMania in the back of my mind. Can I make it back for WrestleMania season? I feel good about that. Beyond a firm timeline, I just won't know until we have a clearer answer from the MRI.
Right. Yeah. That's the good thing about being like that much in shape, is that you can, you know, your body tells you kind of like, this ain't good. we need to figure some things out. So, I mean, yeah.
We know his history when it comes to knee injuries and leg injuries.
First off, let's find out what's happening, and hopefully it's nothing where it's career ending, and then speedy recovery after that. So
we'll see sending happens. Speedy recoveries to Seth freaking Rollins. Mm-hmm. And well, I know he'll miss SummerSlam, but we have another person that actually is ready for SummerSlam, Jelly Roll. I actually do like this pick of him knocking Logan Paul. I actually do like that pick. But anyways, as we mentioned, Jelly Roll will be a part of SummerSlam, where he'll be teaming up with Randy Orton to take on Drew McIntyre and Logan Paul. And also with the fact, too, that he was on the Pat McAfee show earlier today, where he talked about his training. And he is taking very seriously in this training. He mentioned in a few quotes, when me and Hunter started talking, the more I got involved with WWE over the last couple of years, every time I lose weight, they're like, looking good enough for a match yet? Or do I need to lose another 100, a little more, brother? I just kept pushing pushing for it. I have been training. I have quietly been living in Orlando for 3 or 4 weeks at the PC, showing up every day like a piece of furniture. They can't keep me out of there. I'm there from the moment I wake up until it closes. I am obsessed. And then he goes on to say Matt Bloom is his coach, and he was training with him the other day. And then the Undertaker comes in. So pretty much it's a 3-hour session. And also he's getting a lot of pointers from Kevin Owens. Jacob Fatu came in and wrestled with him for another day for 3 to 4 hours. So he is putting a lot of good work and taking it very seriously on training for his match at SummerSlam.
I mean, I do like, because gone are the days, I don't know if you remember, it was, I think it was a Raw, where the Ball family came in. Like, gone are the days where you have, I remember, like, you have celebrities, they just come in, like, no training, you know, they're just fans. I do like the fact that one, well, most of the time, one, the people who are having the matches or who are stepping in the ring, I also think it might be an insurance thing, that they're getting a little bit of training. And, you know, they're actually wanting to put the time in to train, because it is, I think, artists or athlete, like when you start something new, like I'll give you an example. I carried a good friend of mine. I actually used to be your trainer to CrossFit today. And it was her first time doing CrossFit. But because she likes fitness, it was a new thing that she liked. And now she's going to start going. And I feel like the same way with like people who are artists or even like athletes, they just take on something. It's like, okay, well, I want to learn everything about it, or if you're passionate about something. So yeah, kudos to him. I can't wait to see it. I think it's a good avenue to be in for people who are not, you know, full-time wrestlers. I mean, that's how like Logan started. He was he got a whole ring in his backyard now. So
I mean, he's taking, I've had my mixed feelings about Logan Paul as a human, but he's taking his wrestling very seriously. He's a great athlete. He's taking his wrestling very seriously, and he knows a thing or two. And yeah, Boza, about that too, because I did not post it up here, but we don't know what's going to happen with Kylie's baby daddy, because apparently there was some reports floating around that he wasn't taking his training very seriously. I don't know, but WWE is really wants to do a relationship, so that's something, a conversation within itself. But I'm happy to see Jelly Roll taking it very seriously and very curious on what he's going to get in his first match, teaming up with Randy Orton to take on Logan Paul and Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, we'll see. SummerSlam is going to be, like, crazy.
Oof. Super, super crazy. And it's ironically because the photo is Saturday Night's Main Event, and you would thought we would be away from Goldberg, but no. Woo! As you know, this past weekend, Goldberg had his last match.
Mm-hmm.
You allegedly. You thought he would be running into the sunset, enjoying it, but unfortunately, just days after his retirement match against Gunther at Saturday Night's Main Event, he was revealed that he was grateful for the opportunity, but the execution of his final bout was a little less than he desired. Goldberg was on the Ariel Helwani show, and he confirmed that the plan for his match against Gunther had been in the works since late last year, but he admitted he was not entirely pleased with the decision to have it on Saturday Night's Main Event on NBC due to the time constraints on live television. He kind of quoted saying, I mean, the Saturday Night's Main Event and the live TV in Atlanta, I mean, you always have your dreams of how you're going to do things. And ultimately, to have a little bit more control over the time and the space would have been much more preferred. Let's put it this way. I mean, I can't say that I was too thrilled about part of that. Freaking 20 seconds with the microphone in my hand, for God's sakes. And pretty much he goes on and on saying,
well, I mean, wouldn't you? Okay.
It's just pretty much.
Yeah. Like, so I get people's feelings, but say this is now like your life, right? And you now can, you supposedly get the opportunity to end your career on, you know, the light, like how you want to end it, right? And you have all these conversations and you have this vision and entertainment. Like, nothing goes as it's supposed to go. Trust, like, that's a whole thing. However, you know, you get through it all and you're like, okay, they gave me the mic so I can actually have my speech. And yeah, I mean, he can voice it. I mean, you can't, well, I mean, I guess maybe, well, according to the Marvel universe, you can turn back the hands of time, and maybe it happened somewhere else. However, in our universe, it is what it is. But I think the other perspective is you have people who don't have the name and cachet that he does, and they don't have, they'll never get the opportunity to get on a mic, you know, on a live TV show, or get their last match because they're either injured or they just didn't make the cut. So when you look at those, like, you know, you look at the bright side of it versus the other side, you know, but it is what it is. It's done now. His son got to see something.
I mean, I'm not going to go further into details on that. I mean, I was supposed to mention, he got 16 and a half minutes in his match. He got 16 minutes and a half in his match. And then, like, I try to understand, because a lot of times people who have done things in the business, they want to end it on a high note. But at the same time, God, that was like the buzz happening on social. Bret Hart took over the production truck of Saturday Night's
Main Event. Oh, my gosh.
That would have been really too funny. And also with the fact, too, you kind of knew it was on Saturday Night's Main Event. You knew it was time constraints because NBC will cut you off.
Right. I wonder if this was a TKO decision. Like, I wonder when the talks happened of, like, you know, this thing that was supposed to happen, or it started happening last year. It was originally supposed to be on, like, a PLE. And then TKO did, like, the analytics as far as, because I feel like they're slots, right? They have all these PLEs, they have all these shows, they have all these superstars, and you have this Goldberg match. And you're looking at where can you put it, because you have SummerSlam that's, you know, two nights, you know, what's the game plan for that? You have other things. Does it make sense to do it in Saudi? Where does the money reside? And maybe either one, they're like, this will be something that people are going to draw people to NBC. So let's put it on NBC. But then the trade-off is we don't have as much control. So did they sacrifice that for the numbers? Or did they say, this is not going to be as big of a draw as the other things that we have, so we're going to put it on NBC? So, again, things that I would love to know. Listen, WWE, if you're hearing me with my rants of wanting to know, like, get behind the curtain, I am a keeper of so many secrets. Like, you have no idea. I would tell a few people, but I definitely wouldn't tell it in this forum. I just want to, like, it's just very curious. Like, I'm very curious as far as how these decisions get made. But, you know, and they're probably not going to tell Goldberg, else he would have told it on a podcast. So it is what it is.
It's pretty much.
They figured Goldberg would be, oh.
I mean.
Do you think that was a possibility?
I would not be surprised, because it's like, did you really think it would be all in Texas, considering they've had that booked out for months? And right. The fact, too, it was still going, especially with Saturday Night's Main Event was starting to come in. I mean, I'm just saying.
And I feel like the people already, I wonder what the numbers are for, like, all in. Like, you watch it live. Or you purchased it, can you go back and watch it? Like, could you stop watching it and then watch Saturday Night Main Event? Or can you watch, like, both? Which is possible, especially it being, like, you know, athletic. I wonder what the numbers were for that.
I think, and I'll probably talk about this before I do the preview for Dynamite, but I think Tony was talking about this.
Absolutely right, Dylan.
Oh, excuse me. Tony. Yeah, that is true. That is true. But I think Tony mentioned this in the media scrum. I mean, he didn't get the whole number. I think it was just a number. It didn't include the pay-per-view purchases, but attendees. And I think it was, like, I know it had to be more than 30,000. I know it was more than that. Like, he kind of estimated around that. But like I said, it didn't include, like, purchases or anything. So, and also, if you did purchase the pay-per-view, you can actually watch it back. But I think they only lasted for, like, 7 days.
Oh, yeah, I really feel like how I really hope in the next year there's some type of deal, because every, like, all the other promotions are doing it. Like, you know, these PLEs, or, you know, you're able to watch WWE's PLEs on Peacock or Netflix or whatever, and you're already paying into it versus these one-offs. It's just a lot. And I feel like you would get more viewers if you get like a deal with, I don't know, who's left now? I mean, WWE has Peacock and Netflix. I guess maybe Hulu would be a good viable option.
I thought they were on Hulu before.
They're on Hulu, but I'm like giving the option where you can actually watch the pay-per-views.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Or like you have them, like instead of buying it on Prime, maybe you put everything on Prime. So now it's forcing people to write, like, I mean, I don't want to say most people. I have a Prime subscription. It would have been great to just watch everything on Prime. And I don't have to go and look on like Hulu. I don't have to do, like, you can just get everything AEW on Prime. And you don't have to pay extra for these PLEs. And then you can also watch ROH on Prime. Like, I don't know if those deals are being had and the numbers are just not being met. But considering where we're going now, which... Remember, like, when there was a point where it was, like, you cut the cord, like, there was cable and everybody cut the cord, and it's like, it's going to be so much cheaper, but now it's actually more expensive. Like, when you factor everything in, you're paying $200 to $300 in cable and, like, you know, for whatever the subscriptions are, and then you have to go and buy a $60 pay-per-view, like, every couple of months. It's a lot. And then, you know, say if you want to support ROH, that's $9.99 a month. It's just a lot. Like, I would rather pay a little bit more on a yearly subscription for Prime to get all the pay-per-views for the year. And that might be an option, so correct me if I'm wrong, but to get all the pay-per-views for a year versus paying every single time.
That would be, because as a person that is a paid subscriber, and I was actually talking about this too on my watch along, it would be great if they gave like a promotion for people who have Prime subscriptions, like, you know, bundle it for $20.
Yeah,
like you can watch the rest of the pay-per-views for that much, because that's a lot of money. Yeah. And also they could have done the same way as NFL does for Thursday Night Football. That's included in the package.
Yeah,
you can watch Thursday Night Football throughout many TVs.
Yeah, and TNA actually does that. I have the year subscription that includes all the pay-per-views. So like even if like AEW were to take everything back and put it on like an app, which I don't think is the best way to go. I think where everybody's apped out right now, like there's just too many apps right now, but whatever. If they took everything back and you could just pay one rate for like ROH and all the pay-per-views, and then you can watch, you know, AEW for, I don't know, $150, I think you would get more people than like the add-ons.
That would be. Because that would save so much more money. Oh my God.
So, but you know, I am not the billionaire, so hopefully they'll figure it out.
And Goldberg needs to stay far, far away. He doesn't need to be in AEW. he does not need to be in AEW. No.
Very, very true. Gail Kim. I love her. She's awesome.
Yes. Oh boy, you would think with this one. So Evolution, and this was actually really interesting. So this past weekend on Evolution, they showed out all the legends who showed up, paving the way for women's wrestling. But Gail Kim issued a public statement on her socials where she called out fans who made negative comments about the physical appearances of the legends who appeared at Evolution. Mm-hmm. And she urged people to focus on their contributions rather than their looks, and pretty much addressed it on her socials, what she said. I'm noticing a lot of comments regarding the legends that were on Evolution last night. It seems like a huge amount of comments are in regards to their aging and looks. That's where our dysphoria comes from, which I still go through today. And pretty much she was very excited for the pay-per-view, but at the same time, she kind of pretty much summed it well. Please don't do this. We are all human beings. remember and celebrate what they gave to the business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I mean, I don't think you can get away from this. I stumbled on a rabbit hole of, I'm not even gonna say who the person was or whatever, but it's just kind of like I stumbled upon one comment and then I just, out of curiosity, seeing all the rest of the comments, and it was just like totally disgusting. But I don't think we're gonna get away from it, because I think everybody who's on social media, in particular Twitter, and Marie Shadows actually did a really good piece on this. I think people on Twitter just really feel like everybody is entitled to their opinion. Doesn't mean everybody needs to say it. And I feel like everybody just says some wild stuff on Twitter. And I don't think it's going to, I think it's emboldened people, and I don't think it's going to change. I think like the good and bad thing about where we are right now is if you curate your social media and, you know, what you watch on your phone and everything like that, you're going to get less of it. Opposed to if you click on one, you know, negative comment, then it's going to start flooding with the other negative comments. And I also feel like people oftentimes complain about things that they can't do or they can't be like these women did amazing things and you're, I don't want to insult anybody, but this person, whoever's making these comments, probably couldn't like catch a woman on their good day, on their bad day. So it's just kind of one of those things where there should be some type of way to think it, but I don't think there is.
There should be. Dylan, you might want to clip this because I said this a couple of weeks ago. Someone that has competed in pageantry and also working out again, wrestling fans, you need to listen to this because... who gives you the right to even criticize anybody regarding their body appearances? And we said, and myself and Jacob said this a couple weeks ago regarding Alina Black, because she was getting similar remarks. Mm-hmm. And this is an issue that's not going away. But everybody always thinks, what is it to do? What is it to do? Well, first off, because this is a platform for women's wrestling talk, because we support all women from women's wrestling. And people don't have any clue on what the women face. And also, they do not know that they face off with a lot of eating disorders. A lot mm-hmm. of eating disorders, a lot of body dysphoria. There are so many women out there. And it really kills me to see how people can be so petty. And I find it absolutely hilarious how people can say the most bigotry, misogynist comments, even on socials, that you wouldn't even say it to their face if you tried.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't even say it. And I just find it really funny how people think it's okay to say that. Like, imagine if you had a mom, a sister, a daughter, or even a female relative, and you say that on social, disrespecting another female. Yeah, I would pretty much do it, but nobody wants to have that conversation.
Right.
Nobody wants to pick out and choose. So I don't understand, and it kind of really bothers me, because nobody should have to feel body shaming about anybody. I mean, I think right now, since we do have a platform about it, we need to talk about it. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not going to go away. This is still going to be a continuing issue. And also, even in the wrestling, not just the wrestling industry, but everywhere, wrestling, beauty pageant, wellness, this has to be something that needs to be said. And in the words, you kind of have, you really have to speak out, because silence is a killer.
Right. What are you going to say? Go on.
I mean, silence is not a killer, but you just need to speak out about it. Feel free to support them. And also, don't be a dickhead on social. Just please do not be a dickhead on social.
Yeah. Maybe you should just dull out like therapy for everybody. Because I feel like, who has the time? I often like who has the time to like look at somebody and, you know, have an opinion and then go to social media and like tweet it? Or yeah, it's just, there's so many other things that could be done. There's so many like other positive things that there's so many other things that you can watch and acknowledge. It just to go out of your way to do that is just, as somebody who doesn't have a lot of time to do stuff like that, it's just weird to me to be like so negative, like, you know, find a hobby. Hey Ashley, how are you doing?
The worst part is other women bashing other women. Yeah, honestly, that's worse. That's more worse.
Yeah, that's a whole nother.
That's a whole nother conversation. But this is definitely a conversation that we're still gonna keep going because we always support ladies here. But we have Dynamite tonight. Mm-hmm. AEW Dynamite coming to you as they kick off their residency in Chicago, Illinois. They'll be there for the next 2 to 3 weeks. Yours truly at the top of the hour will be doing her Timeless Elite Wednesday watch along. We're going to hear, well, we got the fallout from AEW All in Texas, and we're going to hear from the new AEW World Heavyweight Champion Hangman Adam Page. After beating Jon Moxley, he has the belt for the second time. And not only he will be speaking, but he will be competing in a match. It's him, Mark Briscoe, and Powerhouse Hobbs taking on the Death Riders. Mm. You could imagine there will be a lot of chaos in this match. And who knows, because the landscape will be changing in the Windy City. We're also going to have Mascara Dorada taking on the Aussie Protostar Kyle Fletcher after his performance Saturday for the TNT Championship match. He is looking to get back on track, and hopefully we see belt on him soon. I would like to see Kyle Fletcher get some gold. We're also going to have the ladies in a 100K four-way fight. Willow Nightingale, Chris Statlander, the Toxic Spider Tekla, and Queen Hamanada are going to be battling it out. We know there's some bad blood with all four of these ladies, and always love seeing the ladies in action. Mm-hmm. And of course, we have my client, the Timeless One, Timeless Toni Storm. After her miraculous victory over the CEO, Mercedes Moné, she will be having a victory speech. All this and more happening tonight with yours truly at the top of the hour with Timeless Elite Wednesday. And I'm sure we are going to get a lot of action happening, because I know everybody's asking, where's Swerve Ospreay? They will be there. Top stars will be there. But what match are you looking forward to see on Dynamite?
I mean, I like this. Bosa just pointed out the random 100,000, a weird real reason to have a women's match. Yeah, but, you know, well, it's a women's match. So Queen Amanda tweeted, if she wins, she'll donate her 100K to Anti-Ice fundraiser.
Yay!
I mean, I like that. And I wonder, like, is it really 100? Like, again, I can keep secrets, but are they really going to get 100K? Like, yes.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen some matches where they put up, like, 2K, like, crazy stuff where they had money and they did get paid, like with Sammy Guevara, because when I was at Collision, when Sammy Guevara was in the Fatal Four Way match, because I forget how much it was like 50K, he actually ended up getting the money, and he said it in his vlog that he was going to spend it, but Ty stopped him from spending all of it for their daughter.
Good idea. Timeless and Athena. Yes,
I think it would be. I'm very curious on the four-way match with obviously the ladies. I mean, of course, my client always, Toni Storm, doing what she does best. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm very curious on what's going to happen with the world title picture, because Bryan Danielson and Darby Allin made their return. So I'm very curious on what's that going to do. And also what they're going to do next, because, yeah, they got Forbidden Door on the horizon, but I'm focused on next year at Wembley Stadium, like, what potential.
You're focused on next year already. But you still have.
I know.
I was telling a friend of mine, is like, after, and this is not even about me, but kind of, because my birthday is like the first week of August, and it's like two or three weeks later, they're already prepping for back to school. To me, that signifies like we're on the downhill, and like just prepare for 2026. So I get it, but it's also like, can we take a breather and enjoy the wrestling flowers?
I know I would enjoy it, but also I'm just thinking of potential because you know they're back in London next year. There's just so many angles they could do, and
Bosa's just, already Christmas shopping. Bosa for real?
Christmas in July.
Oh my goodness!
But I also because I will say this, Tony Khan, if you're watching, you need to develop more storylines in your women's division. You already got some. You have Queen Amanada versus Tekla. I don't know what's going on because I really want to see Willow and Marina Shafir and Chris mm-hmm. Statlander. I want to see what's going on with that, but we shall see on that. And then pretty much, since we were talking about my Kalei Tony Storm, just a quick report, because she, and this was kind of the worst kept secret in the world, she actually was at Prestige Wrestling this past weekend. It was on the Pacific Northwest in Oregon. And I actually did follow them a couple months ago, and they actually advertised this for the last couple months, but I guess they wanted to push it because it was all in Texas. So she made a surprise appearance, and it was really nice to see her in the indies after the pay-per-view. And it was nice to get a treat on that. And hopefully we do get to see not just her, but everybody else kind of landscape in the independent scene within AEW.
Is this a... Have you heard about this? So Bosa saying the AEW TK did an interview and he said he stopped working with AAA because, oh, wait. Oh, well, obviously they did because they're with.
Yeah, I actually read into that and I was like, oh, God.
Sean's asking, does Jade beat Tiffany at SummerSlam?
Ooh, that's a good question. That is a very good question. Yeah, they wanted to wrestle Luther.
I think it's depending. I think a lot of that stuff is dependent on how long or when Jade's contract ends, and also if she's going to re-sign. Because I feel like if she doesn't, if this is like a one and done type thing, and she's gonna move on to the movies, I feel like they need to get as much bang for their buck. So definitely, you know, put a championship on her, let her have a champion run, even maybe have like her and Naomi, you know, go head to head, championship for championship. Like there's a lot of things, but if she is in there at least for the next foreseeable future, meaning the next, you know, at least 5 to 8 years, then you can kind of go a little bit more slow motion with her and, you know, have like ebbs and flows. But you know, she has said in the interview that I've done with her, she said that definitely like movies and Hollywood is on the list. And gosh, like, why not? She already looks like a superhero, so.
I don't see why not. She could be in the X-Men movie.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very, very true. Also, something for you guys to check out. We just dropped an interview on WWT. It's with Goldie Collins from WOW. So definitely check out that interview, a quick little interview that's talked about this previous WoW episode that's already happened. And also we're going to have our WoW post show and watch along happening tomorrow with me and Christina. So anything you would like to talk about before we get out of here?
I think we've pretty much covered everything from Raw, NXT, nothing crazy. I'm pretty sure if I do get something crazy regarding AEW, it'll probably happen before my watch along. So,
mm-hmm. And make sure to check out the watch along happening tonight.
Yes. Because knowing Tony Khan, God bless his heart, I don't know what goes through his brain. I just want to tap into his brain.
Do you?
What's he thinking? I kind of want to tap into his brain to see what is he really thinking.
We'll see. Well, I mean, maybe one day, maybe he'll come out with like a tell-all book and then we'll be able
See
what happens.
That could be a possibility.
That could be a possibility. All right. Well, so you have a little bit of time before you go. Before we do this AEW Dynamite watch along, where can everybody find you?
Well, I mean, the people can find me top of the hour for Timeless Elite Wednesday. You'll get to continue the fallout for AEW All In. So much happening tonight. I mean, of course, I mean, outside of celebrating my client's victory, there's a lot that's going to happen with a lot of shenanigans and see what's next. Because as I said, they're going to be in Chicago for residency for the next 2 to 3 weeks. Also on the road to Forbidden Door in London, England. Also, please make sure to follow me on my socials at CourtneyNJ11, because I actually just posted something today of a Wellness Wednesday post courtesy of Toni Storm on that promo. So make sure to check it out. I'm also going to be posting content too. I will also be posting a snippet of my interview with West Side Gunn, because it was really interesting, because I asked him if he was going to perform this theme song All in Texas, and he did say yes. So I may do a little bit of a throwback in there tomorrow. Also, make sure to follow ISPW Wrestling. Yours truly is on the card. I will not be there at tomorrow's event because it'll be in Woodland Park, New Jersey. But I will also be, we're also doing a lot of events in the coming weeks, in the coming months. So make sure to check us out, because we got a lot happening, and got some content happening in the works. Lots of stuff happening.
There it is. Agreed. A lot of big things happening as well. You can follow me everywhere at TK Trinidad. Just keep it locked to www.talkpod.com for all your latest news on women's wrestling, etc. With that being said, thank you guys. Oops. Because somebody's always be changing these. Thank you guys so much for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. Ciao, y'all.
Thanks for joining WWT. Don't forget to like us on all social media platforms at WW Talk Pod. Like and subscribe on all video and audio platforms, like yesterday, my G. And check out our website at www.talkpod.com. Thanks for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.